Today's topic, the art of organization, and I'll get started. I want to say, hey, everyone, I'm so excited to be here today, and if any of you heard me speak before or listen to any of my other calls in archive or live, you know that it's normal for me to always be excited. I'm passionate about today's topic because it's probably one of the most important things you can ever learn, and I'm honored to share with my martial art friends. But before we get started, I wanted to wish all of you well with hopes that 2006 is going to be a great year for all of us. I also wanted to take the time right off to thank so many people for the positive letters, emails, and comments I have when I'm consulting with them, either on the one-on-one calls or the conference call that we do like right now. Many people have become members of my consulting site, takingittothenextlevel.com, and they're sharing in the benefits and the technologies. And again, I'm honored to be able to share in your successes or at least be some small part of it. When I opened my first school, my goal was to teach and help students, and the vessel that I had was to share my message through the martial arts. And as most of you know, 15 years ago, I grew from zero to 1,100 students now, locally and internationally, and I've taught tens of thousands of students. So my message has spread slightly, but it's my goal to spread the message of the martial arts, irrelevant of the style, the system, the teacher, or the organization, and help school owners like yourselves. So I guess you can say that my new mission is to help elevate the level of quality in the martial arts around the world by teaching school owners to be as professional as possible. And as I go on, I want to also share with you my goal about keeping the martial arts and making it the ultimate in quality. So in the past 15 years, the martial art business has changed quite dramatically. And we've come from what I would call, and many other people have referenced, the dungeon dojos or the dungeon martial arts schools, to a good majority of professional, clean, systematic, smooth-running martial art educational facilities. But of course, along with the schools have come consulting companies and consultants that I totally disagree with a lot of their practices, their methods, and their strategies. So my goal is to spread the word of what I consider this mystical practice while we enhance people's lives forever. And I hope that by helping you guys through these kind of consulting calls or the one-on-one calls or the emails that we do, we can accomplish this together and elevate the martial arts worldwide. So I have two reminders. One, you guys should become a member of the SEP program that's offered to you through Member Solutions. This is called the Client Education Program, and Joe Gallia is the person who put this together, of course, and it's made and available to you for free, and it's a service that enhances your consulting. You receive many discounts on gear, videos, programs such as Taking It to the Next Level, Mata, and others. And all you need to do is call the office for a free sign-up. That's all it takes. Just call up and say, I want to become a member of the SEP program. Number two, I wanted to remind you that you can set up a free, and I want to say it again, a free one-on-one consultation call with either myself or Melody Schumann every single month. And we do it, I do it three times, and Melody does it three or four times throughout the month. And you can ask us questions on any topic. In fact, I just worked with one of our clients, and the topic consisted of purchasing her own building. And to me, it was really exciting because I thought about it afterwards and realized that if she instituted just one of the ideas that we had gone over, literally it could be worth millions of dollars to her in profits and savings, building her future and her school and her financial security. So, you know, this is pretty exciting, right? So I would suggest that you take advantage of this and clear some time on your schedule. Call Member Solutions and schedule a 20-minute consulting call with either myself or Melody. And all I need for you to do is clear the time and have an open mind. So I look forward to speaking with you guys. And, you know, this is something that I really enjoy, meeting new people, becoming friends, and, you know, getting an idea of what I could do to benefit the martial art business. So without further ado, my topic subject is the art of organization. Being the owner of a multiple school operation, I've been forced to learn the importance of organization and implementation of systems the hard way. My goal is to help you build critical structure within your business and identify the leaks and the cracks that may be holding you back from reaching the successes that you've planned or breaking the plateaus that you may have. I find that our schools grow in levels. So basically, let's say you started brand new and you have one level, zero to, let's say, 50 students. once you've achieved that level, sometimes it's hard to break that 50-student mark. So you may go up to 60, 65, 70, and then drop back down. And there's a continual growth and drop until you finally reach the next plateau or the next level. And you get to, let's say, 75, and then you stick and you're stagnant at that for a while, growth and you know, drop and growth and drop until you reach another tier. And each time there's different levels. So you're going to go from 0 to 50 and 50 to 100 and 100 to 150. And each time you have to include things that we call systems. Now, I've done hundreds of conference calls and one-on-one calls in the last 2 years. And speaking with many people, I've noticed that there's like a virus within our industry. And if this were a computer virus, it would have deleted most of our hard drives by now. And if it were an illness, a good majority of the martial arts schools would be extinct or we would die. So when I say what I'm talking about as far as the two major components that I believe lead to success in the industry or in business, period, number one is organization and education of business. Number two is the discipline to do what you have to do, not what you want to do or what you feel comfortable with doing. So number one is your organization and education of your business, and number two is the discipline to do what you have to do, not what you want to do or feel like doing at that moment. If I may say, the lack of being able to effectively do these things is the virus that infects us all. Without sounding harsh, I want to explain my confusion. As a martial artist, we are highly disciplined in the pursuit of any goal. We've worked hard to become black belts, experts at what we do, teachers, as well as school owners. And the simple fact that we are where we are because of that discipline, and if that's the test, that's a testament to what we have achieved. But the problem that I found is the connection of the business and organizational skills to that of a martial arts school. So physical skills have absolutely nothing to do with the business skills or the philosophical and mental skills that we need to achieve greatness as school owners. So first and foremost, many of us walk around carrying some antiquated mentality that we're not worthy of earning a good living. And I've heard this from many people. I feel uncomfortable. I don't think I could charge this much, or my area won't demand this price. Even if you desire it, deep down inside, there's a good majority of people that don't realize their self-worth and the worth of their service. And even if you secretly know it, you're embarrassed to scream it from the rooftops. The next thing that I believe most of us don't realize is that running a school successfully takes business savvy, marketing knowledge, and a heck of a lot of dedication to the cause. And the reason that I say the cause is because we are all preachers when it comes to the many benefits of the martial arts. We can talk about what we do and how we've helped people and the positive stories about whose lives we changed and enhanced for the better until we're blue in the face. And as you know, I could go on and on and talk about the topic forever. But what I want to really point out to you guys is that without the undying dedication of being the best businessman and increasing your organizational skills, that your martial arts school will just lay stagnant and eventually die. So I have a few questions for you. My question is this. I have five questions, actually. My question is, why do we spend so little time on the business end? So here are my five questions. How much time a week are you still training in the martial arts physically? Number one, how much time are you still training in the martial arts physically? Number two, what are you doing to enhance your martial arts skills, if not just for your students, but for yourself? The reason why we started teaching was because we had an undying desire and love for martial arts, and eventually we became business people, and it became a business to us, and you know how it goes. If you're not happy about what you do and you don't get a chance to have fun, you're just going to eventually hate what you do, and that will reflect in your outlook on your business and your school. The number three is, how much time do you put into your business education? This is so important. What time do you put into the education weekly? And then number four, when was the last time you read a book on business, philosophy, or something that will help your students, like psychology or spirituality? And five, last but not least, how much time do you waste, and how many excuses do you use weekly to justify why you haven't achieved any of the top four questions that I asked? So one, number one, how much time a week are you still training in the martial arts? Number two, what are you doing to enhance your own martial arts skills, if not only for your students but for yourself? And number three, how much time do you put into your business education? This is a key question. What are you doing to become better at running your business? How much time are you putting into the thought of improving your school? Number four, when was the last time you read a book or gone to a seminar on business, philosophy, or something that'll help your students like psychology or motivation and so on? So these are five key questions. But getting straight to the topic, running a martial art business or any business for that matter is not easy. So this is why a small portion of our population is self-employed, and even a small amount of the people are really making a great living. Recently, I just took a well-deserved vacation. I went to the island of Jamaica. And now, for those of you that have traveled to Jamaica, you know that the streets are filled with these street hawkers. They're like, you know, street vendors that are, I don't know, some of them are homeless people, some of them are just people that are out of work and so on. But they're people that are trying to make money on tourists and getting by on the good nature of the tourists and respect. But the very fact that they turned me off kind of a little bit, but at the very fact that they were so persistent was absolutely amazing to me. It took more than a polite no to get them to leave you alone. And then I looked at this and thought to myself, maybe I can bring a few of them home with me and have them go out and solicit leads from my school. To be honest, they'd probably do a great job. But they, no matter what, they didn't give up. They were persistent at getting the point across to you, selling you that little trinket or getting you to look at their shop. And they were just there continuously. I mean, you could not get rid of them. The same faces day after day. And it was just amazing to me about their persistence. So my point being, we pursue our goal and go after it with a vengeance, but we're not putting the same dedication into running our martial art business and servicing our clients. We shot for the black belt in the first degree or the third degree or whatever we went for, and we achieved that. But are we putting in the same amount of time and dedication and effort into running our business and servicing our clients? Just recently, I wrote an article on my weekly emails through Member Solutions, and it was called Satisfied to Motivated. I spoke about the difference of just being satisfied or being highly motivated. Now, of course, I'm hoping that after hearing this call, you guys are not just slightly motivated, but you're over the top going 170 miles per hour towards your goals of being the best martial artist, physically, mentally, and spiritually, as well as being good instructors and business owners. Now, organization is critical in anything you do. You need to be able to be so organized that even on a lazy day, you accomplish more than the average person does in a week. You have to have all your ideas, concepts, and goals in order and set out far ahead of time all the things you need to do weekly, or actually daily, weekly, biweekly, monthly, quarterly, and yearly. And you have to be highly disciplined about achieving those goals. You have to be so systematic at your approach that you're just a production machine. Now, I'm not suggesting that you work day and night and have no balance in your life, but the saying that says 40 hours is to get by and anything over 40 hours is to succeed. Now, I'm not a firm believer in working till you drop, and I believe the saying that all work and no play makes you a dull boy. Life is too short, and we have to have a balance in our lives, but that's why I ask you to work disciplined and effective and efficient rather than wasting your time on the things that don't matter most. I call them the wildly important goals, the things that are going to take you to the next level that you want to be or take you to the place where you want to go or bring your income up or your billing check or bring you new students or have you become a better teacher. All the things, depending on what those goals are, you have to have wildly important goals. Now, you've heard me as well as many other consultants speak on systems. And well, to be honest with you, I catch myself talking in my sleep almost about systems that I speak about it so much. To some people, it falls on deaf ears, and to others, you hear the message and put time into kind of putting systems in effect. But most of us, including myself, do not get our systems up and running to full 100% effectiveness. And heck, I'd be happy with 90%. So again, here are five questions for you to ask. Number one, what systems do you actually have in place? Something that I can actually call a system is, let's say, just because you do a We Miss You call once in a blue moon doesn't mean that you can call it a system. If you do it weekly, then it's a system. But if you're only doing it and getting zero results, then the system for this is just a system for the sake of calling it a system. It's virtually a waste of your time. So if the results are not there, then why bother? So you have to ask yourself, what systems do you actually have in place? The second question is, how effective are your systems? The third question is, are the systems nothing but busy work? Like, for instance, I catch myself daily going online to answer my emails because I do consulting online and, you know, getting an email from this person or seeing this other forward from another person. And all of a sudden, before I know it, an hour of my time has been wasted on things that are just valueless. So are your systems nothing but busy work? Number four, what is the end result of the system that you have? Is it going to benefit your school, your clients, and your future? Is it something that will take you to another level, or just is it a system for the sake of having a system? And five, what is it that you're trying to accomplish with the system? In other words, look at each of your systems. For instance, 2-4-6-week calls. When I developed my 2-4-6-week call system, I had heard about it through many consultants, and they had asked me, are we doing it? And they gave me little bits of information that I thought were important, and I went out and started doing these calls. What I realized later on was I really didn't have a purpose at doing them. Like, there was no end benefit. Maybe, yes, I was making contact with the clients, but I didn't really have a system in place asking for a specific result. I didn't have a goal to accomplish by doing the 2-4-6-week call, so I fell into the trap of doing something just for the sake of doing it. Now I have a 2-4-6-8-10-week call system, and it leads into so many other things, education, referrals, gear sales, special events, and so on, and it is an intricate network of different things that go along with this one little 2-4-6-8-10-week call system. Okay, I have a close friend that's 80 years old. His entire life he's practiced judo, and he's lived by the code of what we call in Japanese shibumi, the constant pursuit of perfection. He was an engineer by trade and a quality service manager of some of the biggest military manufacturers and medical firms in history. Just recently he talked to me about SOP, standard operating procedures, and then he also mentioned to me QC, which is quality control, as well as CSI, not like the TV show, but customer satisfaction index. These items are imperative to the growth of your school. So let me give you the initials, SOP, standing operating procedures. What makes your school tick? How does someone come in and actually do things for you? Let's say that you fell ill, like one of our friends just said to me before, and he pulled a hamstring on his leg, and if you weren't able to make it to your school and you were laid up in the hospital or in bed, is your school going to run like you want it to run? What are your standard operating procedures? And then the QC, which is your quality control. What do you actually have in place to insist that you have total ultimate of quality control, as well as knowing the CSI, your customer satisfaction index? Knowing really, are they satisfied or are they just satisfied or are they so satisfied that they're motivated clients, like I wrote in that article. These items are imperative to the growth of your schools, these three little topics. And the saying goes that if you're standing still, then you're going to get passed by. We continually need to be in forward motion, learning and looking clearly to the future. And as my friend told me, he said it's the analogy he gave me was it's like a shooting star. It's an amazing thing to see, and it burns brightly and beautifully, but very quickly. But a shining star burns brightly for a long time. You have to ask yourselves, do you want to be the bright star or the shooting star? The shining star or the shooting star? And the analogy is true for many businesses. Most businesses don't last for more than the first 2 years or so. Staggering statistics I read, and I believe it was in a book called Good to Great, it said that many businesses only last 5 years. The ones that last 5 years never really see their 10-year anniversary. So believe it or not, getting to the 5-year point is not such a big deal. Or getting to the 10-year point is not such a big deal. They said that the companies that lasted 20 years or more could consider themselves a company in long standing. But believe it or not, most 20-year companies never make it to their 50-year point. Isn't that amazing? If you think of things like since I was born, I'm 40 years old, like Coca-Cola or Pepsi. But think of all the other companies that have come and gone. You know, the video stores, the mom and pop delicatessens, the hardware stores. All these things that we used to know are now no longer even a memory or a thought in younger children's minds. You know, so here I have right now a list of things that I want to give to you. Now, you could start writing them down. I'm going to kind of go over them once or twice. I also want to let you know that this exact phone call is going to come out in one of our weekly emails, and it's going to be available to you over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, and then on it, compliment, courtesy of takingittothenextlevel.com, we're going to actually give you the form of the checklist that my program managers and school officials that run my schools for me actually do on a weekly, a daily, a weekly, and a biweekly and monthly basis. So before I go into this entire checklist, I want to open the calls, open up the line, Joanne, for any questions so far. So does anyone have any questions or comments or thoughts on what I've gone over up to now? If so, just chime in. Feel free. Don't feel embarrassed. You know, just say what's on your mind because, you know, it really does open up a whole network of other items to talk about. So anybody out there? Anybody there want to just make a comment? Because if not, I'll just move right on. And, you know, sometimes I feel that it's a good thing if you have no questions, because I guess I could take it as a way that I could take it that I'm explaining myself in full, but I also want to get your feedback. So one last request for questions. Anybody? Hey, Joanne, let's go back in lecture mode if we could. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Here are my lists. Now, every single night, my school, the people, what I would consider a dojo cho in Japanese is technically a program manager in my school and instructor, they email me nightly this task list. There's not one night that goes by that they don't do it, and it has weekly tasks. So, daily tasks, and then weekly tasks, and then monthly tasks. So these are the list of daily tasks. And the form is nice because it shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it has a checklist, and then the person who's done the task puts their initials in it. So, of course, this is simple stuff, like checking messages and doing callbacks. Sometimes we'll let a client wait 1 or 2 days before we get back to them. And this is a huge mistake. I've found in many of the customer service books that I've read and seminars I've gone to that people lose patience within 10 minutes. If you can imagine yourself walking into a store and not getting any recognition from the sales clerk and just being left out there to hang for more than 10 minutes without even someone saying good morning or good afternoon, you start to get a little frustrated. I personally don't like that, and I would actually walk out and go somewhere else. If I feel myself, if they don't want to give me a courtesy of saying hello or I'll be right with you, and even if they're on the phone, they just got a nod at me so I know that they have me on their radar, I feel more confident that they're going to take care of me. So I recommend that on a daily basis, of course, you're checking your messages and making your callbacks, even if it's to leave a message or call someone and say to them, you know, I don't really have time now. Can I call you back a little bit later? So the first thing was checking messages and doing callbacks. Number two was update and organize your information, meaning how many trial classes you have and who has inquired about your school and all your statistics on a daily basis. You should know, if I were to call you and say, how many trial classes have you had today? You should be able to tell me, or how many are on the schedule for today, or how many have you had this month so far? How many people have called and come in? How many people have signed up that have called and come in? How many people have just called and never scheduled an appointment? These are statistics that are vital to your organization. It will help you know about marketing and advertising and whether you're spending your dollars in the right advertising or marketing venue. The third thing that we have on here is call and confirm trial classes for the next day and sometimes give reminder calls for someone later on in the week or even that day, because you know how we get caught up in things and all of a sudden something gets in our head and then, wow, we go, oh, man, I missed that class or I missed that appointment that I was supposed to go to. And that reminder call is just so, so important. Actually, calling them the day ahead of time and then calling them the day of, even if you left a voicemail on their cell phone, it's a big push towards getting more people to come in for your trial classes. Four, on a daily basis, you want to call all the people that missed the trial calls or missed their trial classes. You want to call them up and ask them if they'd like to reschedule, why they missed, if there is anything wrong, if they couldn't find the location, and so on and so forth. If you can't get in touch with them, immediately send them a little handwritten postcard saying that we're sorry we missed you. We hope that everything is okay. Please contact us or expect a phone call from us. The next thing is, daily you should be recording all your finances, knowing on a daily basis how much you brought in, how much gear was sold, how much drinks were sold, how much private lessons were sold, or special events, or new memberships and upgrades, and so on and so forth. You need to know on a daily basis, because if your ultimate goal is to make $30,000 for the month, broken out over the course of, let's say, 30 days, you have to make $1,000 a day. If day one you miss your $1,000 mark and you only make $500, day two you should be able to try to shoot for $1,500. Because if you don't stay on task, at the end you're going to end up coming up short. And listen, I find this happens a lot with my staff. They don't keep their mind on the goal. They don't keep their focus on the tasks that are so important. And then at the end, they just look at me with, you know, this kind of blank stare saying, I'm sorry, I didn't make my mark, you know. And as frustrating it is, it's very annoying to me when they know that all they have to do is follow these systems that I put in front of them. So before I go on to our weekly items, let me ask you if you have any questions on these five topics. So, Duane, if you could open it up one more time for me, I'd appreciate it. Does anyone have any questions on these five items? Wow. Am I doing that good, for real, you guys, or is it just that everyone fell asleep on me? Come on, give me at least say no or yes. Come on, Eric. I heard a chuckle out there. Is that person awake?
I'm here. Maybe nobody else is. I'm here.
All right. No, one guy.
No, you didn't put us to sleep. It's just that for me, it's just overwhelming, you know, how much discipline it takes
to
stay
about
on top
it.
Of things.
You know what? And you and I already have a topic. So at the end, I want you to bring up that thing that we talked about, you know, about the implementation thing.
Okay.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But okay, I appreciate that you guys are okay. And you know what? It is so true that even when I talk about this stuff, it becomes overwhelming. Even with the systems that we have in place, and that's why in the text message or the topic before when I started it, you see how overwhelmed I am? I'm confusing myself. But anyway, when I first started this topic, I had said that I'd be happy with just about 80% or 90% efficiency. Having all these systems, just having them, doesn't mean that you're going to actually do better in your business. Sometimes having too many things in place overwhelms a person to the point where that they have, you know, analysis paralysis, or they just sit back and they come in and it feels like your head is about to explode. Because too much is going on. So that's why I believe that if you have these weekly checklists, and I will supply this form to everybody through the emails, it makes it a little bit less overwhelming to you. So, okay, Joanne, put me back in lecture mode one more time, even though everyone's being really quiet. I'm going to move on to our weekly items. Now, on weekly items, if you have a list of things that you should do weekly, the first one I suggest, of course, again, and this is an intricate system, is the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls. Most people, you know, it is 2, 4, 6 week calls. We've even brought it out to the 5 month period of time. Now, the people who have used this system that they've joined, taken it to the next level, and they're actually using my scripts and the system, they've found that not only has it increased their communication, but the motivation of their students and the retention of their students, as well as the education of the students and the parents. Our ultimate goal is to educate our people, not just how to kick and punch or block or do some sort of self-defense technique or movement, but to educate the parents. Because trust me when I say this, is that even though that we're teaching the children and there's a parent looking through the window or staring onto the floor and seeing the lesson, even the students and our black belts sometimes don't make the connection as how important the lessons are. So if we continually teach, and in the way I learned with this antiquated, mystical Japanese ninjutsu kind of teaching methods, always teaching me to search for the lesson and try to find the lesson in everything, most people don't do that. They want to know what A is going to do for them and how they can incorporate it, and they want to know A, B, and C on the steps on how to actually make it work. And this is where Sensei Dwight Woods, Sifu Dwight Woods, had said to me about implementation. I could talk to you till I'm blue in the face about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls and this and that and so on and so forth, unless You know how to implement it and actually get it in a format that it's easy for you where your head is not spinning. It's just going to become more of an annoyance. And what human nature will do, it will create us to push it aside and do what we do easiest and most natural. And sometimes that's avoiding this product and this process. Okay, so anyway, a weekly task, meaning that you would do it, you could do it throughout the week, but it has to be done weekly, is your 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls. This is for new students, and then for 5-month calls. The next thing is we miss you, and we call them we miss you calls and attendance calls. So if a student within 1 week hasn't showed up to class, they should get a call. If you get their answer machine, they should get a message left for them and a postcard sent to them in the mail. Now, if you don't have postcards, you're going like, wow, now I got to design a postcard. I have these postcards available if you guys are interested. I could send you a copy. I could email it to you. Or you could actually get them from our store at touchzen.com and make it easy for you so you don't have to be constantly reinventing and redesigning. Then the next thing is renewal calls, because everyone is going to continually become their agreement or contract is ready for expiration on a monthly basis. You'll have this continual turnover of people that are coming up for renewals, so you want to be in contact with them. And you don't want to wait till the day they expire. You want to start calling them 2-3 months in advance, because if any of you have had a car loan before, you know that when it gets close to the end of the car loan, we start counting down the day towards freedom. That's why car companies will try to contact you a year out or try to get you to convert into a new car before the lease is up or the purchase is up, because they don't want to lose you as a client. They want to gain more new business from you. The next thing on a weekly basis is your cold calls and calls on old trial class calls, meaning that the people that are no longer hot. In other words, if I had a person that was supposed to come in yesterday and they didn't show up, I would call them right away. But after a week or two goes by, I don't just ignore those people and throw them on a mailing list. I'm persistent weekly at calling all those customers, because just because they didn't show up doesn't mean that they're dead in the water. They may still be interested, but their just schedule went haywire, or they're just nervous and they need an extra boost. And you put these people on cold calls, and you also send mailers to them. So cold calls and calls from old trials or missed trials. Also, the old trial is someone who came in, and for some strange reason, which happens quite often, you don't sign that person up right then and there, and maybe you set up a secondary appointment and they don't show. So they weren't really sold on the school, or they had questions, or they had some apprehension. The next thing is referral calls. On a weekly basis, call your existing students and ask them if they have anybody they'd like to refer or bring to your Buddy Week. And you remind them when Buddy Week is, and you let them know, and you call them. It doesn't mean you have to call every single student. If you got 1,100 students like I do, it's almost impossible. But you do try to call them, you know, every week and get in touch with at least 40 or 50 people, asking them to give you a referral. The next thing that we do, and this is an entirely other topic that I could go into, is called our teacher calls, which are the public school system teachers that we get on our mailing list by asking our students to bring a letter to them and ask them if they could be put on our email list, or ask them if we could call them to come in and visit their classroom. And we also get it in kind of a sneaky way by asking the teachers to sign with their phone numbers what we put out during promotions is our letter of intent. Our letter of intent we use on every single striping, on the belt striping, and also on promotions, so we get the teachers. And even if a student is in high school and they have 7 teachers, they have to have all of them sign it. So we're going to ask those teachers and email those teachers and contact those teachers and ask them if we could do anything to help them achieve their goals, and we kind of network with our schools that way. Another thing is parent calls from what we call our letters of intent. That's our promotion letters. And we have a questionnaire. With every letter of intent, we give a questionnaire, and it asks the parents, have they ever done this or that? Have they ever wanted to have their kid do this or that? Are we on target with our goals, and so on and so forth? The next thing is upgrade calls, from not only from our questionnaires and from our letters of intent, but just calling people that are in our most basic programs and asking them to see if they'd be interested in coming as a guest to our Black Belt Club or to our Masters Elite or being a part of our team leadership character development or maybe getting involved with our instructor training program. Another one that I find to be most important, and people tend to avoid it, and I make this my first priority, is problem client calls. for anybody who left a message or they were dissatisfied or you heard them talking in the lobby and they were unhappy about their son not getting a promotion or the parking wasn't good or they didn't like what they saw or their kid's not doing as well as they think, we want to call them right away and talk to them. We have our keep in touch cards as well. We on a weekly basis send out at least 20 to 30 cards just to people that haven't been actively training, and it just says, hey, we miss you, or even keeping in touch with people that are active and just saying, you're doing a great job, I love that front kick the other day. And we also will, send those out and maybe say, hey, give me a call one day and we're going to get together and do a private lesson or come in on such and such a date and, hey, maybe you could help out or whatever you can to get people to motivate, get them motivated. And, of course, my Dojo Cho or my program manager entered their contracts two times per week. They don't do it every single day, just twice a week they enter it into the Member Solutions billing thing. We review all our past due accounts and collections accounts on a regular basis, so not only is Member Solutions doing it, if we find that they're having a hard time, they're not getting a phone number, the phone number is incorrect, an email address is incorrect, we'll help them out by reviewing all our past due accounts. We want to talk about student conferences, renewal and upgrade calls. We also want to set up our promotions on a weekly basis or a biweekly basis. My Dojo Cho have to prepare their final stats for me for our Monday morning meetings. And then we send out birthday cards to all of our clients. We send them out on a weekly or a monthly basis on everybody who's going to have a birthday that day. But we also send out a birthday party flyer, and I'm going to go into that because that's on a biweekly basis. Then we do purchase orders for all our gear. Every single piece of gear that we need to order for our clients, our students, our fighting gear, weapons, and so on, we make those calls and we put those orders together. And then we do special events calls, which is our next parent night out or our next tournament or our next Shi'i or whatever we're promoting at that particular time. Of course, it's good to know all of these things because when you're doing your 2, 4, 6, 8, 10-week calls or your upgrade call, you could tell the parent everything that you need to talk to them about. And then our marketing. On a weekly basis, we're doing marketing where you could use what I have is a marketing action worksheet, and this is also available on Taking It to the Next Level, but I've emailed it to some of the clients that have requested it. So if you're interested in getting your action marketing worksheet, we could supply that to you, but it's something that gives you a focused mentality or a focused game plan on marketing. What are you actually doing? Like, for instance, on it, it tells you the project, get new students, the objectives, get your students, in my schools, get 20 new clients a month per school. It tells me, where's my target market? Well, we want to target to little ninjas, 3 to 5 year olds, or what we call our mighty warriors or little warriors. And then it asks you, what are you doing on a daily basis? Because marketing and throwing an ad in the newspaper is not really what I would consider a marketing plan, a plan of action. So if you're interested, just email me and I can get you that sheet. But anyway, this is also done on a weekly basis. Now, I know this is a great deal to digest in one phone call. As Sensei Dwight had said, it could get your head spinning. And I know that just having this form might clear it up for you, so that's why I'm giving this to you guys, and it's going to be in your weekly consulting. So check it out and look for it so that you could use this and print it out and maybe, change it around slightly to match your school because, things that I may do, you may not be doing. And then basically start putting it as a discipline into your work week. But what I suggest is divvy out or delegate the tasks to members of your staff, to some students. You don't necessarily have to do everything yourself. As you know, the reason why we're owners of businesses is because we're not, the difference between self-employed, the difference between being self-employed and being a business owner is being self-employed is giving yourself a job that you can control your own paycheck and your own hours, but you end up working for yourself. You, as a business owner, you're actually asking for employees to get the things done that you need to grow your business, prosper, and become more profitable. So you want to jump from the quadrant of being self-employed to being a business owner, and then jump from the quadrant of being a business owner to a business owner slash investor, looking that are going to give you what we call passive income. Now, this is a whole other topic altogether. But anyway, A few of the monthly tasks are going to be sending out birthday flyers or birthday party flyers, sending out team leadership character development flyers to market to your existing clients. On a bi-monthly basis or monthly basis, we send out advertisements for our referral program that we have, meaning that we'll send out four different or five different postcards sequentially over the period of 5 months, and then we revolve that again, marketing our referral program, and we send out stuff in reference to our Black Belt Club, our Masters Elite program, and so on. I mean, you should see I have an entire 12x12 room with just marketing material set out for my staff, and it's just quite overwhelming when I look at it myself. So anyway, let's open this again because we are flying, and I have to end exactly at 2. So far, is there anything that you guys have questions on that I could help you with, or on anything, even if it doesn't pertain to this topic, please, ask me now.
I listened to one of those member solutions conference calls where...
Are you there? Is that someone there that's asking me a question, or you're talking to someone else? Okay, anybody out there that has any ideas? Is there one topic that I talked about that you might want to know about a little bit more in detail?
Yeah, Ali, it's Dwight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think what I'll do is schedule a 20-minute with you because I wanted to talk to you about, how to pick who to delegate some of these additional tasks, which staff member.
Absolutely. And also just to touch on that slightly, as we step from the realm of being self-employed to being a business owner, we have to start implementing a lot of different human resources tools. Now, even if your staff is volunteer, for instance, I had said to my guys who run my schools, one day I walked in, I saw this guy stuffing envelopes, stamping them and labeling them. I'm like, couldn't you just ask one of the little kids or the teenagers that when they come in 20 minutes early to just sit at the desk and do this for you? Not only one would they love to do it for you, but it keeps them busy, the task accomplished. So what you need to do is look at all the tasks that you do on a regular basis and say, who could be qualified to do this? Is it one of my junior instructors? Is it my secretary? If I'm the only person, can I ask a mom that's just sitting there, if she wouldn't mind while she's waiting for little Johnny, rather than talking to the other moms, would she mind making, some event calls for me? Or would she like to make $5 or $8 or $10 an hour, stuffing envelopes at home? There's many things that you could do, but I think as martial artists, we don't delegate as much as we should because, in essence, we're kind of like control freaks in a way, and we want to do it all ourselves because we know it's going to get done the right way. But I've found that I'm better off being a little lazy and letting other people do it for me and maybe not having 100% quality, but getting 10 times more of it done than having, let's say, 90% quality and getting it done by somebody else. Does that make sense? Let's definitely do that 20-minute conference call. Anyone else have any comments or questions?
One quick question, sir.
Sure.
You're going to send this email. Is that through UBill?
Yeah, like you guys get on a weekly basis, you'll get an email from me.
Thanks, sir.
That's my consulting call. You will get it. And I just forwarded it to them today, so they'll probably have it at one of the first of the three series out by this Thursday.
Good. I'm looking forward to getting the systems checklist. That's just something that
And as well as, if you'd like, email me at Renshi, LINinja at AOL.com. That's RENSHILININJA at AOL.com. And I can also send you out this marketing action worksheet. Because I have to tell you, just having this simple form and the people that I've given it to already, they've been able to create a better focus on their marketing. Because if you think about it, what are you actually doing for marketing? And then so when you have a system in place or a goal of, let's say, getting out 1,500 flyers per week or 1,500 door hangers per week, what are you actually doing and who are you utilizing and how are you getting those things out? And if you don't know that and have it set out ahead of time, then eventually what happens is you fall short and we don't get it done, and then week one turns into week two, and instead of having, let's say, 6,000 that you wanted to get out, you only got out 1,000, and then you wonder why the phone's not ringing. So this becomes a problem, and like I said, it's a discipline, but at the same time, if you have a a task sheet like the one I'm talking about, it may help you be more focused on getting your goals achieved. Any other people have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
Ali, this is Mike. I got a question about what you know. A lot of our assistants are teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do when they start? You know, these kids start out really gung ho, and then they get to an age like 17, 18, where they get busy, they get bored with you know, they just turn into slackers all of a sudden. How do you motivate and get them to understand what the goal is?
Well, this is the thing. Being in business for 15 years and having gone through this, you know, so long. I've just recently come to had an epiphany and come to the realization that there's a certain select period of time where there's nothing that you could say or do that's going to motivate certain individuals. So as much as you talk till you're blue in the face, they may say yes to you. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Do you remember in the movie Rocky One where Rocky's walking and he meets his niece or cousin and he starts talking to her and he's talking to her about smoking and wearing low-cut shirts and dresses and she's listening to him and he's feeling really proud because he's like sharing his knowledge and wisdom of the years with her. And then after he's all done, she walks up her steps and he walks about another block or two and she yells out, "Hey, Rock!" And then Rocky turns with a smile on his face thinking that she's going to say thank you. And she says, "Screw you." And I remember Rocky going, "Yeah, screw me. Like, who am I to really say this stuff?" Well, in reality, you know, a lot of people will only, they're just going to hear you. It's going to go in one ear and out the other. There are certain people that will actually get the message, but there's a certain select group of young teenagers that they're just hormonal and you know, at that stage of their life, they're just not going to be able to give you what you're looking for. And I hate to say it, but it's just factual. If you look into the child psychology, that some of them will and some of them won't. There are going to be those select few, and you got to constantly polish stones. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. I have a young girl. She's 17 years old. She's been teaching for me, and she just got to the point where she's graduating high school, and she's like, "Well, I'm not going to teach anymore. I'm not going to train anymore. And, you know, I want to, you know, take some time off before I go away to school." And I knew it was inevitable. You know, I knew that she was just going to phase out because it's just that time in her life where I, you know, no matter what I say or do, I can't keep her around. So I would shoot at this, you know, at the people that you could see have a glimmer of light left in them. And also start looking at other people, you know, and bring in the new blood, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, did that help you at all with the question?
Yeah, gave me the hard answer. But you know.
Yeah, I don't mean that, you know, I mean, you know me, Mike, I hate to, like, ever, you know, give something that I can only give you based on what my reality is. So if it's that way for me, it might not be that way for you. Because you may be able to give the most ultimate pep talk and turn people around, but I've found that anytime you have to motivate people that much, it's short term.
Right. No, you're right. And I know I got a hard decision I got to make.
Yeah, people have to be self-motivated. Like, for instance, another one of the consulting clients at Member Solutions asked me, what do I do about a guy who continually shows up late? And he goes, "You know, I don't really pay him, and he's an assistant. And you know, do you think if I pay him, he's show up on time?" I said, "You know, it's their inherent nature to be late. You know, you don't pay people based on or give them rewards based on bad performance, you know. So, you know, like in one of my favorite TV shows, The Apprentice, you know, Donald Trump will, you know, he could notice immediately whether people have the quality that he's looking for. And if they don't do specific things that they should, you know that they're just not meant for the job and it's better to just cut them loose and not really deal with them at all. Or hope that they'll come around on their own, but not rely on them and depend on them and put your, you know, all your eggs in their basket, so to speak. That's just my own opinion. Anybody else? Any other questions out there?
Could I throw one out?
You sure can, of course.
This is Larry in Atlanta. On the same note that the gentleman just asked,
right?
It sounded like you were talking about finding a new person to replace that person.
Yes.
Would you find them in-house or would you go outside?
Well, you know what? It all depends on what position they're doing. Like and it also depends on your school and your system as well. Like for me, I could hire a program manager, and they don't need to have any martial art training whatsoever. Really, what they have to be is charismatic, clean cut, well educated, and good salespeople. And they have to be motivated to be able to stay on task. That's the requirements that I would look for in a program manager. They have to have sales skills. You know, they have to be a good people person. So you could hire them out of running an ad in the paper. you could hire one of the parents. But again, don't just, like I always say this, and this is kind of a funny analogy, but it's true, don't run an orphanage for people that are unemployed. So in other words, if you have a position to fill and it's program manager, don't look for the people who are unemployed that are looking to get a job and then look to train them and teach them. Look for someone who has the qualities that it takes to become a program manager, somebody who has the skills to be on the phone and sales and so on, you know, because you can't train someone to be something that they're not. The next answer to the question is, you know, as an instructor, it depends on whether they could learn your system. Let's say a Taekwondo guy who trains in Taekwondo may be able to hire someone who has done karate because it's similar in some respects, and it would be easy to, you know, to learn. And but somebody, let's say Sensei Dwight Woods or myself that teach these esoteric Jeet Kune Do or ninjutsu systems that take years of being a student, they could never learn what we want them to know to be a teacher as far as the curriculum goes. So it's really up to you in that respect. But yeah, you could hire from another, if you do Taekwondo and you're in the ATA and then there's the ITA and one guy wants to come over and work with you, you could probably get away with that and get a really good employee from it. So you're not pigeonholed or stuck, you know, with just the people that you have in house. Does that answer your question?
You know, it's been my experience, it's better to hire somebody who's willing to recruit rather than somebody that thinks they're a star right off the bat.
Yeah.
And so if you hire a program manager, could you maybe email me? I'll send you an email about what you would say in the ad.
Absolutely, yeah. Why don't you come up with an ad, what you think it might say, and then I'll tweak it for you or give you my opinion on it.
Thanks, sir.
It's always my pleasure. You know, anytime I could help on that, I'd love to. How about one last question, because we're almost at the end of our rope at our time limit. So if you have one, get it in now, or we're going to close it up. Anybody? Okay. Anyway, I know that this conference call could be like a frustration, but that's not my goal. As I told Mike, you know, I'll try to give you my honest opinion on everything, and the one thing that I think people think about in my consulting is that I don't paint this picture and say that, you know, it's easier than it is. Like I had said, running a business is not easy. You know, dealing with the service industry, servicing clients, like whether it be the food industry or a tile business or martial arts school or a gym, we're servicing our clients. It is not easy to keep people satisfied. You know, a school teacher has a good job because they only have to teach their students for 6-8 months out of the year, and then they get a whole new flow of people the next year. We are constantly going through, you know, keeping a student for 4 or 5 years, you're not only having to change with them on a regular basis and go from phase one to phase two to phase three to phase four of their maturity level or their understanding level and constantly shifting your lessons to appeal to those people. They're not going to be motivated on day one with the same topic as they're motivated 5 years later. We constantly have to evolve within each student to keep them interested and keep them active and keep them training. So, as well as, you know, being a professional in the business world, we need to continually evolve and learn and become better at what we do. And the only way to do that is to really sit down and analyze why we're in the business that we're in, what we want to achieve by being in it, and what our end goal is, or our 5-year goal, or our 10-year goal, or what we're going to do after 20 years. Are we going to retire? Where do we want to be? We also need to decide on what is enough or what is good or how much money we want to make or, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, we want to set our goals high and large but not so unbelievably, you know, out of the ballpark that when you don't achieve what you set forward, you don't get depressed and sad over it. So before I hang up, I want to offer to you guys to email me anytime on any topic that we go over. It's at Renshi, LINinja, at AOL.com. That's RENSHILININJA, at AOL.com. I also want to offer to you guys, if you don't have, I have two videos, DVDs and videos that I came out with called the Taking It to the Next Level.com series. One is 101 Drills for an Exciting Classroom. Another one is the Complete Martial Art Business Education. And I want to offer that free to any client that signs up on my website, takingittothenextlevel.com, as a way of giving you back for taking that leap of faith and step. And then I want to, if it's not my site, it could be Mata, it could be Melody Schumann, but whatever you do, you got to put your time in and be disciplined about improving yourself. That word, shibumi, in Japanese, the constant pursuit of perfection. So I'm here to tell you that, you know, I'm still not there myself, and I want to be light years ahead of where I am, but the only reason that I've grown from zero students to 1,100 students is because I'm continually, daily pushing myself, pushing the envelope, you know, getting myself to do things that, you know I need to do, not necessarily that I want to do. And, you know, that's where I've achieved what I've achieved, and I hope that you'll do the same. So anyway, in closing, I want to say take advantage of Next Level, take advantage of the SEP program, and thank you again so much for listening to our call today and being a part of Member Solutions. Don't believe in any of the hype from all these other places that may solicit you, because I can tell you I'm not only a consultant for them, I'm a client, you know, like the Hair Club of America. I'm a client of Member Solutions, and I believe in what they do wholeheartedly, or else I wouldn't be on the phone with you today. They are by far the best company that I've ever dealt with, and I'm honored to be a part of what you guys do and possibly just help you in some way, small shape, or form. So I want to say thank you so much for listening, and until next month, I'll talk to you again. Have a great day. Take care.
Thanks, Allie.
Bye-bye.